Tzadle was whether that's the Risho Lachar. Is that called Sheyesh Bo Hano? What's the Hano?
If you hit with a hard ball, I would consider
Hano. That's a different
matter. When you catch the ball, why do they have all the shotguns inside? Why do they
stop
it?
It's
padding that it shouldn't hurt. When a heavy ball falls in, it shouldn't hurt. So that, I think that's a Mishnah, that's called Halo Sheyesh Bo Hano.
That's called Bo Hano, and not
the stitching.
The stitching might have been tying the fingers together. That was probably linen, and I think everything inside might have been wool. It was a combination of some things. It wasn't just a padding inside. It had two things.
Because there's a Mishnah in Kalayim that says, let's say there's a Mishnah Klein that says let's say you have a pot holder, a cloth pot holder, so that when you take the handle of the pot you shouldn't burn your hand. So you have a thick piece of cloth and you hold it around. So that's not Levisha, that's Ha'aloh. So the Mishnah says that's called Ha'aloh Sheyesh Bo Hano, because it protects my hand from getting burned. So that's the shot. Okay. So that's the shot. How do you medana nosa la nosa? What falls under which category? The check for shotness? Could be. I don't know. So that's what the Gemara is asking. What in the world is he going to use the shatness for on Yom Tov? What can you use it for? So the Gemara is so simple. The prohibition of shatness is only if it's on the body. Let's say they have a curtain. Let's say you have curtains hanging. And the curtain is shatness. So that's not a problem. There's no levishin, there's no halal. And even if you're protecting me from the cold or from the sun, whichever, but it's not Levisha, it's not Halah. Halah is only if it's touching on the body. If it doesn't touch the body, that's okay. It's also a Mishnah. Let's say you have a hut and the roof is made from shatnez and it protects you from the rain and so on. So it's not touching the body. So that's not called Halah. So the Gemara says, Ela B'ilon. Let's say simply, you're permitted to give a gift of shatnez cloth because you can use it as a curtain. Frag the Gemara, you're not allowed to. The Gemara says there's an isim of the Rabbanan to make a curtain from shatnez. Boshken Shainzai. Frag the Gemara, but how can you say vilon v'ha'am arule mipnei ma'amru? Why did the earlier rabbis in the earlier generation make a statement? Vilon tamei. Why did they say the vilon is tamei? The din is that begodim amakabel tumah. A beggar is a chatan. A beggar means a kli. What's a curtain is considered a kli? Why is a curtain considered a kli? There is a Mishnah, Taisus here quotes, Mipneima Omra means Ula is an Amoira. So Ula is saying, how come the Tanoim, he's referring back to a Mishnah or a Brisa somewhere, how come the Tanoim wrote in a Mishnah or a Brisa that the Vilon is Tomei? What's shot in that Mishnah? Why is the Vilon a beggar? Why is it a kli? Why is the Makabotum hanging there? Why is it even considered a kli? A kli is a table, a chair. These are kelim. Furniture, clothing is a kli. How is a curtain kli? So Ula says pshat in the Mishnah, mifnei shashamish mischamim kenegdom. Sometimes when someone is chilling,
he'll
wrap himself around with the curtain. So the Gemara is making a tzushta, just like Ula is interpreting the reason for the Mishnah. That is a Mishnah, Tosfos says. There is a Mishnah in Shkolim that says that the V-loin is Makabel Tumah. Tosfos quotes it. It says Shkolim Yud Beis on the base. So there is a Mishnah in Shkolim that speaks about the fact that a V-loin, a curtain, is Makabel Tumah. So what's the reason for that? It doesn't make any sense. We don't understand that. Why should it be a kli? Meizah Tam should be considered a kli. So Ula gave the reason why. Sometimes people, when they're chilly, they'll wrap themselves up in a curtain as it's hanging as a curtain. So for the same reason. So that makes it a kli. So for the same reason, Shem is chamin boy, so you're not allowed to make it from shatness, lest the person may warm himself up. That was the Gemara's kasha. That's the way we have the gears in the Gemara. That the Gemara made it tzushta. Ula says, Ula is commenting on a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Shkolim. Why did the Tanoim say, Bilon Tomei? Why does the Mishnah say that the Vilan is Makabel Tumah? And the same reason they made it Zer Drabonon by tumah that it's makabel tumah, so too they should make it zera derabanan that you're not allowed to make it from shatnas. Yeah. Tosfos questions. Maybe there's a different girsa here. Tosfos has the last 10 lines in Tosfos. He say in the sefer halachas gedolos of bahagoras. Not in Pneima Omer Vilan Tome, why did the Tanoim say that the Vilan is Makabal Tome, but rather, because then the Gemara should finish the sentence. Go Omer Rulam Pneima Omer Vilan Tome, Tashan Shams Kana, Hachanami, Hachanami, Hashem Chaim Kenegda. So the punchline is missing. It doesn't say Hachanami, Hashem Chaim Kenegda. They should fear Rice in the Kasha. So that's why the Halachas Gedolos had a different gear. He said, not in Pneima Omer Vilan Tome, in Pneima Omer Vilan Ostor. Why did the earlier Tanoim and the earlier generation say you're not allowed to make a curtain from Shatnez? So you don't have to say a tushto from there to here. It's a direct kasha, direct kasha. The only thing is, Taisa says, where does it say? We don't have any Mishnah Braisa that records such a din, that you're not allowed to make a curtain that's made from Shatnez. That you do have. There is a Mishnah in Shkolim that says that a curtain is Mekabel Tumah. But the statement, the way we have the Gersa in the Gemara, Ula is commenting on a Mishnah, and he's making a tushdel. Why did the Tana and the Mishnah Shkolim say that the Vilan is Mekabel Tumah? What kind of a kli is it? So the answer is given. Because once in a while people will warm themselves up on it. So that's a beged. So who had the nami? Machta tushdel. You shouldn't make a curtain made from Shatnez. But the way the Bahag has the gear, so where does it say that a Vilan is?
Maybe it's a Bahag had the gear over there also. The Gersa and Shkolim, maybe the Bahag had the Gersa also as Metnaima is also.
No, the Mishnah says Parechesh and Nitin's Bevlar Atumah. No, it wouldn't fit in. No, that's the famous article. There's quotes another Bryce at Parechesh Bekabal Tumah, 300 Ta'arim, you should carry it to the Mikvah to be Tumah. It goes Bevlar, carrying in the Mikvah. All the sources go on Tumah. Alright, so that was what it says in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, so what in the world is going to use the shatnas for? You can't use it to wear it, you can't use it as a blanket, you can't use it as a sheet, you can't use it as a bottom sheet, you can't use it as a curtain. What is it going to use the shatnas for? So the Gemara is going to say, sometimes you can use it. Yeah. Here there's Taka discussion in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah and Hilchas Sefer Torah, in the Yerudei Achil Gimel. The Ramah writes in Hilchas Sefer Torah that the Paroiches in front of the Yom Kodesh, you may make from shatnas. It's permissible to make a parechas from shatnas. Why? Because the whole reason why you're not allowed to make a viloin, a curtain of shatnas, because somebody may warm himself. But the parechas is tashmishi kedusha. You're not allowed to. It's a tashmishi kedusha. So you're not like a mantle of the sefer Torah, like a tefillin zekel. It's tashmishi kedusha. The tefillin itself is gufik kedusha. The Sefer Torah itself is Gufa Kedusha. And this is Kashmishi. So you're forbidden to use it for your own purposes. So the whole Chashash doesn't apply. So therefore, it's permissible to make a Parechis from Shul from Shatas. In fact, that's what the Ramah writes in Yerudeh. So in fact, so one of the Mefarshim on the side writes, and it's even recommended as a Midas Chassidus to make it from Shatas Zechel HaMikdash. Because the Parechis in the Beis HaMikdash used to have Shatas. The Chumash, it says, used to weave together different cloths and make the parechas, and the Mishkan was made from shatnas. So it's an Indian of Zechel HaMikdash. I think 98% of the parechas that you order, unless you give specific instructions that you don't want shatnas, that 98% will have shatnas. They once had a display in the museum in Yeshiva. So that's what when they gave you the grand tour of all the different parechas, and so that's part of what they pointed out on the in the tour. He said the 98% of parochism that are made today are made from shatnas, unless you place an order otherwise. Right. So the Ramah says it's a tashmishi kedusha, so you're forbidden to use it also. No, the Shams used to do
regular curtain
in my home, in a private home, in a house.
Regular curtain.
Yeah, so they used to use a curtain to warm up, but the curtain in front of the Aron Kodesh you're not allowed to use. That's what the Ramah says. So that's the problem. The later Achrayim say that in Europe the minig was for quite a few centuries when a couple would get married, they would use the parechas and the shul for the chuppah. So the Achrayim ask, how are you allowed to do that? It's a tashmishi kedusha. No, they ask the tashmishi kedusha. So how can you use it for your own personal purposes? So they all answered the same answer. So the Gemara in Megillah raises an objection. Why is the parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh a tashmishi kedusha? it should be considered a tashmish to tashmish. It's twice removed. Let's say I have tefillin and a tefillin zekel, then I put the tefillin zekel inside the talah zekel. So the tefillin itself is the guf hakdusha. The tefillin zekel is tashmish kedusha. So when one, let's say that my tefillin zekel is all worn out and I want to buy a new one, say, now I'm going to throw it out in the garbage. Even though it has no psukim, you have to put the tefillin zekel in shemus. Same thing, let's say I have a plastic cover on top of the mezuzah and it broke. And I don't want to use it anymore. I can't use it. It's all broken. So still, you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. You have to put it in the shemus because it has the status of tashmishi kedusha. So the that's only the tefillin zekel. Yeah. But then when I put the tefillin zekel inside the talah zekel, so the talah zekel is a tashmish ditashmish of the tefillin. It's twice removed. So the Gemara says the talah zekel does not have a status. Or let's say I have a tefillin zekel and I keep the tefillin zekel, plastic, the cloth inside a plastic cover. So in the plastic tears, I throw it out in the garbage because that's a tashmish to tashmish. Twice removed from the gufa kedusha. So the Gemara asked the kasha, the sifrei Torah, the gufa kedusha. They're sitting in the Aron Kodesh is the tashmish kedusha. So the pareches is twice removed from the sefer Torah. Oh, so it's even more. So the Gemara asked Akasha, so why do you say that the Parechis is considered Tashmish Kedusha? It's twice removed, three times removed from the Sefer Torah. And for the Gemara, because the practice Bizmana Gemara used to be, so we always have our mentala on the Shulchan Kavua. And if the mentala is missing, so somebody puts his talus temporarily on the Shulchan. But with Mana Gemara, the practice used to be they used to remove the pareches kavua. Not if a guy puts his talus down just on one occasion, that doesn't make the talus into a tashmishi kedusha. He never meant to designate it specifically that it should be miyuchad to serve to hold the sefer Torah on top of it. But this was what they intended it for when they used to make pareches. They used to manufacture them in such a way that they knew that it's going to serve as the mentala for the Shulchan in the event that you won't have the other mentala on the Shulchan. So because of that, that's why it's a Tashmishi Kedusha, because they put the Sefer Torah directly on top of it. So the later Achrayim write already after the Ramah, that Haim Pizmanan said that that is not the practice. We no longer take down the Pareches and put it on top of the Shulchan. Pareches just hangs on the Aron Kodesh. So Bizmanan said the Pareches does not have the status of Tashmishi Kedusha, because it's twice removed, it's Tashmish to Tashmish. So therefore, it doesn't have any status of kedusha. So therefore, you can use it as a chuppah. Yeah, but if therefore you can use it as a chuppah, therefore, if you're chilly, you can warm yourself on the pareches. So therefore, the kula that the Ramah had, that you're allowed to make a pareches from shatnas, and the recommendation that you should make it from shatnas because they're going to make it, all falls off. Because the whole thing is all based on the assumption that you're not allowed to get on the rah, you're not allowed to warm yourself up. But if you are permitted to warm yourself up, because it's a tashmish to tashmish, because it's not a tashmish kedusha, twice removed, then you're not allowed to make it from shatnas. So bizman is there, that's how the poskim say, bizman is there, it's not permissible to make a parechas from shatnas. So when you make a new parechas, you have to notify the people, they should bedak and not put in, you have to check your parechas for shatnas. You have to check your sheets for shatnas, and check your blankets for shatnas, and you got to check your parechas for shatnas.
So the mappen and the shulchan would be tashmishi kedusha.
And the what?
The mappen and the shulchan.
Mappen and the shulchan is tashmishi kedusha.
You can lean on it.
Yeah, that's
the places that put a plastic.
You cannot lean on it. What do you mean lean on it? The leaning on, you really being learned from the shulchan itself.
Yeah.
The shulchan is good. Shulchan is tashmishi kedusha. The shulchan really holds up the sefer Torah. So the shulchan is, even if there's no mental on the shulchan, the shulchan itself is the tashmishi kedusha.
You're not really supposed to put on the siddur.
You put a siddur on, it's also a problem. It's a tashmishi kedusha for the sefer Torah, not for the siddur. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the early Rachmanim who raised that problem. How can you put a siddur on it? How can you put anything on it? So he gives a shvacha teretz. They say leid bezn masna leid. It was made lechatchila. It was built lechatchila like that. If anybody wants to use it, you can use it. Means it was never, they never really had a mind to designate it the miyuchad for the sefer Torah. That's like if there's no mental on the shulchan, I put my talus. So that, I didn't want my talus to be tashmishi kedusha. Let's say I don't have a zekel for the tefillin. So I put my tefillin in I put it into the talus zekel. Oops! So all of a sudden the talus zekel is tashmishi kedusha. No, I didn't want to designate it as such. So that's the kula that the Achronim say, that the man, as I said, we know we need Gemaras here, just look over here. We need Gemaras and Chumashim and Sidurim and all kinds of other things. Daka boxing, all kinds of things we leave on Shulchan. That means we assume Leib Bez Masna Lein, we never really designated it as Miyuchad Dabke for the Sefer. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Lachatchila Shetaka tried to avoid it. If you can't avoid it, so Bekoshi, we rely on that Hefer. Okay, so.
Given
the Kodesh says among
the kingdom
in
Benjamin, they have a special consideration
over and above the state of Yeah. So, look at that. Had Lucas. Carrying, therefore, some element of on his own.
Aside from the fact that it has them, I don't think so. I think the Kedusha was only, the Orem was only because Orem Abris, because it has the Luchas Abris. If it doesn't have the Luchas Abris, it's Nish. The Orem has Kedusha even after we move the Luchas Abris, because it used to have. It used to have the Tashmish Kedusha, it used to have the Luchas Abris. Okay, so we left. We didn't do the teretz yet. Okay, so next week we'll have to start from the teretz of the
Yom.
Next week I'll give a share, then the week after I'll be there too.
I'll be there too.
The week in between Parshas. Mishnah speaks about sending gifts on Yom Tov. That was the middle Mishnah on Yudal on the day. So it says one is permitted to give a gift on Yom Tov, and there's no prohibition of Mekach HaMemka. So the Mishnah says, the last Mishnah on the daf, right? Mishalchem Kalim, he permitted to send as to give as a gift garments, clothing, bein tfurim, bein sheinu tfurim, whether they're sewn up or they're not sewn up. So the Gemara asked the question. Before we proceed in the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah says on the last line of the Mishnah, Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule, whatever you can use on Yom Tov, if you're permitted to give us a gift. Kol Sheni Yosem Bab Yom Tov, Mishalch Moshe, whatever it's possible to use. Gemara Frek Takashe, if you have a dress or you have a suit that's not sewn up yet, so what use does it have? It's just cloth. How can you use it? Bishleimet Furim, if it's sewn up, Chazal Lamalvish, you can wear it. Well, what can you use? Sheinet Furim. Gemara says, no, Sheinet Furim Nami, Chazal Chasuya, you can use it as a blanket. So the second line of the Mishnah is also good. The Mishnah says you can send clothing that's sewn up, because you can use it on Yom Tov to wear it. And if it's not sewn up, you can use it as a blanket. But then it says in the next line in the Mishnah, even though it has shatness in the clothing. So, matter of fact, Akasha, how can you use clothing that has shatness? A Nachri can use it, but we can't use the clothing that has shatness. So the Gemara says to Bishleim, if it's not sewn up, you can use it as a blanket. So it's also a gift. A gift of a blanket is also good. But Elo, Kilayim, Frek the Gemara, and the first white line on the Daf. Lamai Chozu, what can you use it for? Bichitema, you say simply. The Torah has two psukim where it forbids shatnas. One pasuk says, Beged klaim shatnas lo yala alecha. The other pasuk says, La silba shatnas semo pishtim yachtav. So the pasuk, La silbash, means you're not allowed to put on a shirt, a jacket, a pair of pants to wear it, derech levisha. The other pasuk, Beged klaim shatnas lo yala alecha, goes on ha'alo. Ha'alo means, let's say, a blanket. A blanket, you're not allowed to have a blanket that's made from shatnas. Not only you have to check your clothing for shatnas, you have to check your blankets for shatnas. You got to make sure there's no shatnas on a blanket. The Mishnah has another marshal. The Mishnah in Kalim says, let's say the person has a cloth sack that he puts all the garbage in, and when he takes the garbage down to the basement to put it in the bins there, so he takes the sack and he puts it on his shoulders. And let's say it's chilly, there's no steam in the basement. When he puts it on his shoulders, it keeps him warm, and he's very happy about the fact that he's kept warm. So the Mishnah says that's also an Isur of Shatnas. Even though he's wearing clothes, he has his clothes on, and this is not, he's not wearing the sack, the garbage bag, the garbage sack, but that's Ha'aloh. So Ha'aloh of Shatnas is also forbidden. Lo Yalo Alecha. So Min HaTorah, the only two prohibitions are Levisha and Ha'aloh. But the mahatziya tachta, to have a sheet that's made of shatnas and to lay down on it, or let's say a chair is upholstered. In Europe, that was a common issue, that chairs would be upholstered with the shatnas cloth. So the shatnas I wouldn't be wearing the shatnas, I wouldn't have it covering my body, but I would be sitting on. So Minatora, the din is that that's permissible, but when the Rabbanon is forbidden. They made it there. They're abundant. You're not allowed to sit on top of shatnas. Zera shemeti chorach lanima. Zera the rabbanon, maybe part of the sheet will roll over on top of your leg, on top of your body, and cover your body on the top. In which case, one will be in violation of the Easter ha'alo. Right. Right, they tell the story about this disciple when he first went to take out his wife the first time, so he fell asleep on the first date. Because when he went on the train, he was afraid that the upholstered seating had shatnas, so he stood the whole time, so he was exhausted.
You have to pay to somebody a rabbonim.
Yeah, he had chalaimus. So,
yeah.
They told the story when the stifler was sick, when he's holding on his deathbed. I remember I was at the Levaya. So, by the Levaya, the only one who spoke was Rav Lezer Shach. But then within Shiva, they had a few other Rabbonim. Said Divrei Hesped in Yerushalayim. So they had one of the Rabbonim said a Hesped. So he told over a Meister, I think a few days before the stifler died, he was in tremendous pain. So they gave him and he couldn't sleep a whole night. And he insisted only Fruma doctors. He wouldn't take a Nachri, he wouldn't take a Machal Shabbos. It has to be only a Benteira doctor. So how many doctors are there to begin with? So the doctor gave him a pain relief. He said, if you can't sleep at night, take the pill. So it came the next morning, and the doctor asked him, did you have a good night? So he said, no. Why? Because he tasted the pill, and it tasted like Stam Yenam.
Tasted like what?
Stam Yenam. You know what Stam Yenam? What do you mean?
How would he know what Stam Yenam is?
Tastes like? Tasted like wine. A pill tasted like wine. Stam Yenam. So he laid awake in agony a whole night. He didn't take the pill. So he was suffering the whole night. So they said, but they looked on the label. It doesn't have any wine. Doesn't have any wine. No, it tasted like Stam Yenam. So the pill was manufactured in Switzerland. So that day they called up Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Just died a few years ago. He used to live in Switzerland. They called up Rav Moshe Soloveitchik that he should investigate it. 3 hours later, he called back, doesn't have any stamina. He had such chumras. He was always a choshish for all kinds of far-fetched chashosh.
And flew like that.
Yeah.
What does it say? What does it say here? Nimu achas? Nimu achas is a
issa? It means a big nimu. Not a one thread.
A
big piece of cloth. Yeah, nimu usually means a thread. Yeah. It means a big thread, yeah.
What about we're trying on a suit?
And you're allowed to.
This point, it's already
been yalla,
right?
No. Only if you
want to
have a new one,
then you know. Trying on a suit is in Shulchan Aruch, a big machlokes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim. The reason is the following. The din is, let's say, downtown in New York, a lot of times when you walk in the streets, you see people carrying fur coats on their shoulders, or they're carrying 25 dresses, they're schlepping from one place to the other.
Yeah.
So let's say if the dresses that they're schlepping are shatnez, so they're not wearing the dresses, they're carrying. So it's not a shailov levisha, it's a shailov ha'alo. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, says in Kalim that it's only forbidden if he's interested, let's say it's chilly outside, and he wants to have it to cover him in order to keep him warm. So that's called ha'alo sheyesh bo hano'o. Let's say if it's ha'alo she'ein bo hano'o, if he doesn't get any hano'o from it, he just carries one place to the other, doesn't keep him warmer, doesn't help him at all. Let's say the sun is beating down. Summer day, sun is beating down, so he wants to carry the dresses like this to protect them from the heat. So that's also called ha'alo she'yesh bo hano'o.
Serves
a purpose as far as he's concerned, that it protects him from the cold, it protects him from the heat. So that's an Easter. But if it's ha'alo, he just wants to carry the dresses from one location to the other, but at the time that he carries it leaning on his body, he doesn't get hanor to protect him from the cold, doesn't get hanor to protect him from the heat. So then the Mishnah says that that's permissible. How do you know that that's so? How do you know that the prohibition of ha'alor only applies if it's yesh bo hanor? So the Gemara, the beginning of Yevamos on Daf Hey, learns it out from a pasuk that the Torah has the two prohibitions of shatnas. One is levisha, and one is ha'alo. So the Gemara says they're related to each other. Ma levisha sheyesh bo hanor. Normally a person, why does a person wear clothing? He wants to get hanor from the clothing. Either hanor that it keeps him warm, hanor that it protects him from the...
Or it looks good.
Or it looks good. It's also hamna. Look, good. He doesn't want to walk around naked. He wants to walk around. Like I mentioned, he wants to be dressed normally, be kovadik. So just like levisha, normally levisha is sheyesh bo hamna. So too we assume that ha'aloh, the whole prohibition of having shatnez derech ha'aloh, only applies if it's yesh bo hamna. So the whole yalfusa, the whole limud, the whole mocker of the idea that the Easter ha'aloh of shatnez is only contingent on yesh bo hamna is from the fact that you compare it to levisha. So the chere, it should be self-understood that the Easter levisha of shatnez is only levisha sheyesh bo hamna. What if I'll do levisha she'ein bo hamna? What if I do levisha?
Try on a suit. You don't have any hand.
Try on a suit.
You have no
watch.
You look good in it. It fits you.
No, but you're not.
No.
You're not walking any place.
He doesn't get on door right now. He's trying it on to see if it's the right size, and then he's going to buy it, and then he's going to take out the shatnez, and then he's going to wear it. That's not called hanor now. Or the marshal. The Mishnah has another example. When they used to travel on highways and they used to pass by a checkpoint, so the government customs, so the government would charge you. And you have a whole truckload full of merchandise, full of property, so the government official would charge you tax according to the value of what you have. But whatever clothing you're wearing, they wouldn't charge you anything. So they used to put on 10 shirts and 10 pairs of pants in order not to have to pay the tax. Like when you go on an airplane. So whatever you wear, they don't weigh in. So people wear a lot of things in order that they shouldn't have to pay. So the Gemara has a discussion in Bava Kamma. The Gemara has a discussion, are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to cheat the government from the paying tax? So the Gemara says, Hachamaskina, we're talking that it's a dishonest government. Yeah, the Ganovin. It's a Muchas Haimid Me'elov. If it's a Muchas who's appointed by the official government and he's entitled to get the taxes, then you're not allowed to cheat. But if it's a Muchas Haimid, a pirate is just holding up the people, a mafia man. He's just holding up the people. So then whatever you can cheat and save money is a mitzvah. So then there's. So then there's no Easter. There's no, because he's not entitled to the money, and there's no gzeila. If a person doesn't pay tax, that he's mechuyev medina to pay. Din machus din is mechuyev to pay tax, then it's gneiva. But if he's not mechuyev to pay tax, just a bunch of pirates and ganovs, so then you should avoid. So the Gemara discusses what if the clothing he really has merchandise that he wants to sell to the nachrin, and the clothing that he wants to sell is full of shatnez. He would never wear it. He would never sell it to a Jewish person. He's going to bring it over here in Harlem and sell it to the Nochem. But he just wants to get through the checkpoints. He wants to put on the clothing, not getting any hanor from the sun, not getting any hanor from the heat or from the cold. He wants to look like a man. She looks like a man. She has clothes on. He wants to get hanor, not to have to pay tax on it. But that's not called levisha sheyesh bo hanor. This is zaitik hanor. He's not getting hanor from the fact that he's
got
nothing to go on there. He's getting hanor. He's not paying tax. So the pashtus in the Gemara is that that's mutter. Pashup shat is the whole mocker that ha'aloh is only forbidden if it's yesh b'hanor. It's because the Gemara says in Yeromus, I'm not paying ma'al levisha sheyesh b'hanor, af ha'aloh sheyesh b'hanor. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam is the Rishon. The Mechaber writes, it's the Machlokes, it's the Rambam and the other Rishonim. Are you permitted to try on a suit if you think that it has shatnez? If you know that it has shatnez, so you think that it probably has shatnez, are you allowed to try on a suit or to wear the suit l'havriach me'ameches in order not to pay tax on it? It's a levisha she'ein bo hanor. So they say the Rambam holds that it's osur, and all the other Rishonim hold, based on the simple reading of the Gemara, the end of Bava Kamma, by cheating the tax.
Now, also the suit that you buy, usually the shatnez that's in the suit, is not shatnez deraisa. It's not sure to get there. It's only put in a little. So it's only a tzufik rabbono, most of the cases. It's not.
That's the question. What does the term mean, shua tevi banu?
Yeah.
So Rashi learns that the sema with the pishnim have to be combined together with shua, with tevi, and with nus. And there have been a time of tastes. Writes that that's what prompted him to write the Sefer Yosha the Rabbeinu Tam. He writes an introduction. His Chaverim told me he should write a Sefer with all of your Chidushim because no one ever heard of that word about the Shua Tevi Vanus. He writes in the Hagdomah, that's why he's writing this whole Sefer. And he explains what Tesis quotes.
Yeah.
All the Shitas Rabbeinu Tams that are quoted in Tesis all come from the Rabbeinu Tam Sefer and the Gemara, the Sefer Yosha the Rabbeinu Tam. So he thinks that it doesn't mean you have to have a combination of the Tzemel and Pishnim Yachta of Ayidei Shua Tevi Vanus. The tzemer should be shua tevi venus, and the pishtim should be shua tevi venus, and the two should be combined together. So that's the question, how do you combine it? That's what Tais is going to discuss over here. What's exactly what constitutes a combination in a tziruf, a chibur between the tam and the pishtim. So it could be that the shatnas is shatnas deraisa also. Right. If you have a pishtim in the collar and you have it sewn around, shatnas they sew around and around, but they don't sew through and through. The tam and the pishtim are not really connected. They sew. There's a hollow collar. They insert it in the hollow part of the collar that the collar should be stiff, and then they sew around and around. So you can't get out the pishtim from the hollow part of the collar unless you rip open the stitches at the end. But the mice said they really what's sewn together is the tzemer and the tzemer. You sew tzemer. Yeah. You have a layer of tzemer, a layer of tzemer, and then in between you have pishtim, and you sew the tzemer with the tzemer all around. So Tosfos Shaila, what Tosfos says at the end of the Tosfos, they raise that issue whether that's shatnas deraisa or not.
Why did the Chacham make a gezeira on halah?
Without Hanor.
Following the same logic.
They didn't? I don't know. They didn't. They didn't make any sense. It's only Yotze if it's Ha'aloh, Shiyesh Bahanor. And Levisha is a machloek is the Ramah of the Adushan. The Ramah holds Levisha is forbidden. Levisha Shatnas is Asr, even if it's Ein Bo Hanor, even if you don't get Hanor from the garment. And all the other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, the whole mocker that you need Hanor by Ha'aloh, is because you say, Ma Levisha Shiyesh Bahanor, Af Haloh Shiyesh Bahanor. So you're going to tell me that Levisha doesn't need Hanor. So what are you learning out? That the Prat only applies. That's the machloek is the Ramah and the other Rishonim. By tzitzis, it says in the Chumash that you have to put on tzitzis on a four-cornered garment. It says about Levisha, never says about Ha'aloh. What if I have a four-cornered blanket? Most people have a four-cornered blanket.
Yeah.
What if you have a four-cornered blanket that you don't wear it, you don't put your arms in it, but you use it to cover your body? It's Ha'aloh. So do you say that just like Ha'aloh is Dino Televisha, with respect to shatnez, so too, halah is dinik alavisha. With respect to tzitzis, that a four-cornered blanket,
it's like this.
Not really. That's the way you wear the talis.
But it's also like a blanket, generally.
We usually in America we don't have garments. The men don't have garments. The women have garments like that.
Yeah.
In Afghanistan and in other parts of Africa, that's the beggar. So that's the talis that we wear. That's called levisha. Even though there are no sleeves and you don't put your feet in any trouser and the legs and so on.
They wear saris, that's what they're called.
Yeah, that's called levisha. That's
like
called levisha.
Yeah.
But the shaila is, what if you have a blanket that is clearly not levisha? So the Morgan Avron quotes that's a machloikis of Rishonim. In Hilchos Tzitzis he quotes, most of the Rishonim say you're not chayv in tzitzis. And he quotes an obscure Rishon, not a Rashbo, not a Ramban, not one of the famous, I forgot about you. One of the not so famous Rishonim says that even in a four cornered blanket, you also mechuyev in tzitzis. So that's a shayla, you mechuyev to be machman. So usually a blanket is a ksus lailo. Okay, you're not chayiv, you go to sleep at night. But the shayla is, what if a person takes a nap in the daytime? That's a shadow. What if a person was going to take a nap in a day? So they quote that the Chazanish said, Magen Avraham quotes an opinion like that, you have to be machmas. So I think they quote the Chazanish said like this. There is a further machloikis, there is a further shayla in Shulchan Aruch. Any four corner garment is chayv in tzitzis. What if you have a cotton garment? What if you have a silk talus? A silk garment that has four corners. Is that chayv in tzitzis min haTorah? Or maybe I should say no. The Gemara has a machlokes haTanoim. So some Tanoim and some Rishonim say min haTorah you're only chayv in tzitzis if it's a beged tzemer or a beged tishtim. And other begodim are only chayv, four corner garment is only chayv in the Rabbah. The Gemara said the Feirish, a four cornered silk garment and a cotton garment is chayv in tzitzis. But it's a machlokes haTanoim and a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch and Mechaber deRamah whether the chayv tzitzis is derais or deRabban. So they quote the Chazanish was personally machmi said. Never heard of anybody who put on tzitzis on a blanket. Never heard of such a thing. So it's wild. So the Chazanish used to recommend that. I'm not recommending for others. This was his practice. When he would take a nap in the daytime, sometimes he would be exhausted. It would be a four-cornered garment. This would be made from semer or pishtim. then he would be machmir to insist that they should round out one corner so it only had three corners. But if it was made, if the blanket was made from cotton, just a sheet or something made from cotton, nish machmir given. Now mechuyif to go zuchay so many chumras that you're only dealing with the tzitzis de rabbanon anyway to begin with, and an obscure sheet that you chayv even halo you chayv in tzitzis.
So there were small pockets. You wear talis the way you wear from wool. You see mechayim tzitzis de raisin, no? Or
that's how Rav Moshe Feinstein quote. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They recommend, since there's a machlokes, why do we wear a talis in the first place?
Yeah.
The din of tzitzis only is a conditional chiyuv.
If
I wear a four-cornered garment, then you're saying you don't wear a four-cornered garment, no chiyuv tzitzis. So why do we go out of our way to buy a talis? And the answer is, we create a situation where we become. We want to create a situation where we become a chiyuv, to put ourselves into a situation to become a chiyuv. So since there are those who say that cotton garments, four-corner garment, cotton is not chayiv in tzitzis menatara, only the rabbanon, so that's why in Shulchan Aruch they recommend you should go out of your way to wear a four-cornered woolen garment in order to know for sure that you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah deraisa of tzitzis. Mm-hmm. Absolvechi didn't wear arba kamtes, he didn't wear wool. He used to wear cotton because they quote that the Vilna Gaon's practice was that he used to wear an arba kamtes that was cut. The only question is that maybe the Vilna Gaon wore a cotton arba kamtes because he used to sit in talis and tefillin all day long.
Mm-hmm. So he didn't
and
need
the talis was wool. So what did he need arba kamtes? Well, he went to the Beis HaKisei. The whole day he said, yeah. So the pictures that they have of the Vilna Gaon, if they're authentic, he used to sit in talis and tefillin all day. So what did he need the arba kamtes for? But we don't sit with the talis all day. We don't sit with a woolen talis all day. So that's a shaila. Is that really following the derech of the Vilna Gaon if we're going to wear a cotton arba kamtes? But
why
that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik did.
Why would we make bracha on tzitzis if we may not be doing it the right way?
No, it's 100% the right way. The only question is, are you fulfilling only a mitzvah mit the rabbanon, or are you fulfilling a mitzvah mit atar? But absolutely, there is a mitzvah. You say bracha when you bench chanukah lift and when you read mikra megillah. It's only a mitzvah mit the rabbanon. It's a bona fide mitzvah. But the question is, why do we go out of our way to wear a four-corner garment in the first place? In order to chaparayna mitzvah. So the question is, maybe you should chaparayna mitzvah. That's a bad idea, right? If you're going out of your way already, so go out of your way. That's right. Let's say in the summertime that it's so hot and people are perspiring and it's really a tircha to wear a woolen arba kamtes. So really, is it really, the whole thing is a midas chasidus. The whole thing is a midas chasidus. To wear a four-corner garment all day long. That's the shadow. The marker of this midas chasidus is the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Soita, where the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted very much, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, why did he want so much to go to Eretz Yisrael? The Chilechem of Lisbeah Mitzuvah. He wanted to go swimming there in the Kineret. What did he want? The Gemara says, no, he wanted to be Mekayim the Mitzvah until he's born. So what's the problem? You live in Chutzlot, you're not Mechuyif. We live in Chutzlot, it doesn't bother us. We're not running to Eretz Yisrael in order to be Mekayim. So the Gemara says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu was such a tzaddik, he wanted to chaparayin the mitzvah. He wanted to put himself in his circumstance where he'll be mechuyev the mitzvah al kulei dvarot in order to fulfill the mitzvah study. If you see that Moshe Rabbeinu did it, so that's why some Rishonim say, based on that Gemara, we should wear a four-corner garment in order to become mechuyev in tzitzis. So how come no one's running to Eretz Yisrael? So how come we're not running there?
So the answer is
that we're not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is on that Madrega. So if we're not Moshe Rabbeinu, so what do we have to wear tzitzis for? So some Rishonim Taka say, no, it's only people on the level like Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see that they're always running to put themselves into circumstances, go out of their way. So those people should wear tzitzis also. But the rest of us don't run so much. So we don't have to run to wear an arba kamtes either. And other Rishonim say, no, it's all the Balei HaTosfos have on the side of the Gemara, Menachos. They have this whole discussion. They quote the whole Gemara. So some Rishonim say they recommend, based on that story of Moshe Rabbeinu, that everybody should wear arba kamtes. Others say, no, you see, fakir. The moral of the story is fakir. That only people on such a high madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu should.
But the rule says the risk that they mention.
They punish. Yeah, they punish a person if he doesn't, if he goes out of his way. That Gemara is another thing. In the days of the Gemara, the normal clothing that they wore, that they sold in the stores, had four corners. So one of the Amoraim, Rav Kitene, went out of his way, and he never had, summertime, wintertime, none of his wardrobe had a four-corner garment. So the Malach came to him, the Malach appeared to him, and he said, what is it with you? You go out of your way,
not to wear.
Everybody else, normal, the goyim in the street wear four-corner garment. He went out of his way not to wear. So that Gemara says, you go out of your way, he didn't do anything wrong, but he did a harama. he wore such garments that he wouldn't become a chayiv in sitz. But the shaitas by us, they don't sell such things in the store. Four corner garments. And the shaitas are we mechayiv to go out of our way.
By right.
We wear underwear and shirts and jackets and so on. Normal people don't wear our becomes. Is it an inyan to go out of your way to buy a four corner garment in order to be mechayiv in sitz? So that's the Rishayim. The other Rishayim bring up that issue. That's the topic that they discuss.
All the different opinions are now all dry, so I'm not sure about the wrong.
Some of their rice and some of their
abundance.
Those that are their rice that the people are not fulfilling. The leket shikapeya, all the matan sanim that they don't do. Those that are their abundance that they do. The chumas and isis, we paskin, is only their abundance. So that, the rabbanut supervises that. But the leket shikapeya, no one's
doing. Even the religious kibbutzim don't do it. No? Why? How come?
I don't know. They don't give pay. I don't think they leave pay. They donate money to charities. I don't think they leave pay. Those are their rights. And Paris and all the matan sanim, those are their rights. It's all that has kedusha their rights.
They don't.
And the chumash and maizes is only the rabbanon because of a certain reason.
So that's
it.
Don't look
it up. It doesn't matter whether anybody picks it up or not. There's a mitzvah just to leave it, right?
Well, if you're going to leave it and you know in advance that no one's going to know, anim are going to take it up, then you don't have the mitzvah. Yeah, there's no mitzvah to leave.
Well, isn't
that depending also on whether Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah or not? The fact that both Eretz Yisrael can live.
In other words, not only the fact of doing the mitzvah, but also the idea of living.
The Ramban writes that there's a separate mitzvah and atorah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So this Gemara, they say, seems to contradict the Ramban. The Gemara asks, what prompted Moshe Rabbeinu to live in Eretz Yisrael? What did he need it for? Elecha v'peri yovelizvah mituvah. So the Teretz, what do you mean we're from? He wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Some mitzvah. Yeah. According to Ramban, what did Gemara have to say? He wanted to fulfill the mitzvah Hatzor Yisbar. Zogi wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds from that Gemara, that's the end of the first parak in Sotah. That's actually Dalim out. Sounds from the simple reading of the Gemara that there is no such mitzvah. But that's a Talmud. The Mishnah says in the end of Sotah that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody agrees. The Ramam also quotes all the Dinim. The only thing that the Rambam didn't farachin it in as a separate mitzvah in the 248 mitzvahs I say, and the minyan mitzvah, he didn't count it as a separate mitzvah, but he still holds it six. It belongs under some category or another. It's still a din. Either a din deraisa, din derabbanan. Still a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that Gemara is still a pella. Why the Gemara said what prompted Moshe Rabbeinu to live in Eretz? Why did he want to live in Eretz Yisrael? It's because he wanted to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Lord. So he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's a pella. It's also one of the mitzvahs that Torah was to live in Eretz Yisrael. Could be that that's what the Gemara meant. Could be that that's what the Gemara meant in the end. He wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. It's also a mitzvah that Torah
was. One Achron who went to Israel and decided to come back, they asked him what happened in Israel because he was afraid he wouldn't be able to do
Tosfos in the end of Ksubis quotes the Rab Chaim Kohen. Rab Chaim Kohen is a Talmud of the Rabbi Natan. So Rab Chaim Kohen says that although the Mishnah and the Gemara say clearly at the very end of Ksubis that there is a mitzvah that everybody should live in Eretz Yisrael, men and the women, everybody's supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he says Bizman Hazeh, no more mitzvah. Why? Because of Sakonas Drachim, it's dangerous to travel, and number two, because it's difficult to fulfill the mitzvah Sakonas Boris. So he may fall in. And so it's better to live in Chutz La'aretz and not become obligated rather than to live in Eretz Yisrael and become obligated in the mitzvahs and violate them. So the Avnei Nezer, who died 100 years ago, died 90 years ago, Rav Remele Sochatshov and Chassidus Rebbe, so he writes that what the Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, neither reason applies to Zman Hazeh. He says 90 years ago, 100 years ago, he wrote the Tshuva before he died. He writes 100 years ago, there's no sakonas drachim, there's no sakonas to travel from Poland to Eretz Yisrael today. And he says, you can fulfill all the mitzvot for his law, it's no problem. You can be makash from Muslim ISIS and you can do everything very easily. He doesn't see that there's any problem with manazah. And on that basis, I quote the Rab Chaim Kohen in the end of Ksubis, so there's a famous, the Maharit, has Chidushi Maharit on Ksubis, a separate sefer. So he says that he can't believe that that's an authentic quotation. He thinks that it's a forgery. He thinks that Ezer Talmud Toya, someone must have put this into the Tosfos and named Rab Chaim Kohen. He doesn't think that it's correct. He doesn't think that it was ever true that that's so. And Avnei Nezer quotes that. He quotes that. They all quote that Maharit and Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra, they quote all these zinim. Why is it in the end of Ksubas?
Because
in the end of Ksubas, it talks about when does the husband have to, when they get divorced, when does the husband have to pay Ksubas? When does the husband not have to pay Ksubas? So the Mishnah says, whenever the wife is at fault for ruining the marriage, so she refuses to go to mikveh, or she doesn't want to have any children, I'm a shugana, she doesn't want to cook kosher food, she doesn't want to cook food at all, so she's not living up to her part of the deal. So then she's at fault, she's miserable, she's cursing the husband, she curses in shvigar all the time. So the Mishnah gives a list of cases where the wife is at fault for causing the breakup of the marriage, so then the husband has a right to divorce, he doesn't have to pay tzibur. But whenever it's not, whenever he can't really pin the fault on the wife, so then the husband is obligated to pay the tzibur. So the Mishnah has this shaila. What if they're married already for 30, 40 years, and then the wife decides, I'm sure gonna, the wife decides she's going to Eretz Yisrael. So she packs up and she leaves, and she says to the husband, Hasta Breri, if you want, you can come with me. And if not, give me a get. So he says, what, are you crazy? Where did this come from? He's given her a get. So one would have thought that she is at fault for ruining the marriage. She's crazy. She picked up after 35 years of marriage and she moved to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, no, that's the exception. Yeah. Whichever spouse says, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's the husband decides he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the wife doesn't want to go. So the husband is on the shugana. Who tells him to go? So he's ruining the marriage. So the Gemara says, no. The Mishnah says, no. The one who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has the gerechta taina. The one who does want to go is considered as being at fault. That's the Meshuggah. The one who does want to go is the one who's at fault for ruining the marriage. So we passed him with the Ksuba accordingly. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. They don't have, there's no simon anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's smuggled in, the way it's smuggled in the Mishnah. It's in the middle of Eben Ezra, around Ayin Hay or so. It says, whichever spouse moves to Eretz Yisrael and they leave the other one behind. So the one who moves to Eretz Yisrael is like Yad Ala Yad. You say he has the, that person has the Gerechta Taina. And the one who doesn't want to go is doing wrong because there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pesachei Tshuva there quotes this discussion. Does that din still apply Bizman Hazeh? I, the Taisa, say in the name of Rab Chaim Kohen, that Bizman Hazeh there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, Sakanas Drochim, and it's difficult to observe the mitzvah of Kli Zbor. So he quotes this Marit, who writes in the Chiddush, he thinks that it's written by a Talmud Torah. And even if you say it's not a Talmud Torah, so Rav Nenezer says that in recent years, in the last century, all the Terutzim don't apply.
Didn't you also have a Ramban that
says that all the Mitzvahs, the Yadon, the Tzvahs, the Yadon, 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 the Samtim is very alavavchem, and you should lay tefillin, and you should put on mezuzahs, even when you live in chutzlos. That's a simple reading of the pasuk. But you have to keep the mitzvah mezuzah and the mitzvah tefillin even in chutzlos. The Rashi quotes in the Sifrei on that pasuk in the second parsha of Hayoyim Shamaya that the reason why we continue to observe the mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah even in chutzlos is based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu Hatzibilach Tziyunim. We should continue to fulfill the mitzvahs, even a chutzlot, so that when we move back to Eretz Yisrael, we won't be surprised, we won't be taken by surprise to keep these mitzvahs. So the Ramban asked the Kasha, what do you mean? But tefillin and mezuzah is a chiyuv deraisa to keep in chutzlot. What do you mean? It's just a zecher, so that when we return back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll remember it and we'll do it right. The Ramban says, because the real ikar place of keeping all the mitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. Some say that that's the reason why the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, because it's a mitzvah kololus. It's a general mitzvah. Living in Eretz Yisrael enhances the fulfillment of talis and tefillin and krishma and matzah and maror and everything. It enhances all the mitzvahs, because the ikam makam of all the shmiras are mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes in the Yud-Dalad Sharashim, the Yud-Dalad Kololim, what qualifies as a mitzvah to be included in the minyan mitzvah? They say you don't count a mitzvah which is a mitzvah kolalis. You only count a mitzvah protis. So they say, many say that the Rambam probably agrees with the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah in Atar to live in Eretz Yisrael, but for some reason or another he holds that it doesn't qualify to be counted as an independent mitzvah. For either it's classified under another heading, or it's a mitzvah kolalis, or for some reason or another.
The Rambam is not consistent that he should hold like the Mahatma.
No, Kesham Kechad is a different reason why he counts it. It means not to be Messiah Das, not to have emunah in the back of your mind, but always to be aware of it. Leida means that never to have a hetzach hadas from the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the mitzvah, Nochi Hashem Lekecha, we would translate Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samen. That would be the mitzvah. Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samen. Should always be ever aware of the presence that you are in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This din, that Levisha, most of the Rishonim hold not like the Rambam. That not only Ha'aloh of Kilayim has to have Hanoah, Levisha also has to have Hanoah. That's the Poshup Shat Nigmar, the end of Bava Kama. If you do Levisha's Kilayim and it doesn't have Hanoah, you do it Lahavriach HaSamechet, so all the Rishonim say you're not over. There's no reason. The Mechaber quotes the Machlokes, the Rambam disagrees, most of the Rishonim hold like that. But some of the Rishonim even say, there's a famous Tesis in Brachas on Daf Yotches. The Tesis has a discussion, how come the Gemara says you're permitted to use Tachrichim of Shatnas to wrap up the Mason, because of Mason Chavshim. There's no Averit. If you dress them up with Shatnas. And nonetheless, the Gemara Menachas says that if you bury a mace with a four-corner garment, the Gemara says you have to put on tzitzis on the garment, because otherwise it'll be a violation of Loid Larosh, Cheref Oisei. You mevaze the mace by demonstrating that it's butter from tzitzis. So Tzitzis says, why is there a difference? How come tzitzis, if you don't put on tzitzis on the four-corner garment, mevaze the mace, and you put on Tachrichim of Shatnas, not mevaze the mace. No. The Tachrichim of Shatnas is also based on the assumption that it's Mason Chavshim is part of the Amitzis. Now, how come he's just worried about the tzitzis? You're not worried about the shatnas.
Here you are mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis, and there you are mevatel the mitzvah tzitzis. It's just the opposite.
That's the kasha. No, yeah. That's the kasha. How come by tzitzis you're makbe to treat the mace like a chai, and by shatnas you don't? So you're giving a teretz or a kasha?
No, I didn't understand what you explained.
No, I just said what the kasha is.
Yeah,
this is a kasha that they said. No, so the Maharal Prague says he thinks the teretz is that tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh and shatnas a mitzvah leisen. So he says the mason apata. The mason apata from all the mitzvahs. But there is a concept of Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh, even if a person is potter. Women are potter from the Tilas Lulav, and they shake a Lulav, and the women are potter from Tkir Shofar, and they go to hear Tkir Shofar. So the Mason are potter, so we should, even though they're potter from Tzitzis, but we should put on Tzitzis as an Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh, so to speak. Do it anyway, it has an Indian. But the Marami Prak says it doesn't make sense, Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh, and a Lois Esther. Let's say I'm not a Kohen, but I'll have a Levi, so I'll stand outside. What am I standing outside? I shouldn't. What's the yichus not to be mitam lemeis? If you're not a kohen, there's no mila. Or aishes kohen, a kohenis, she'll stand outside by the light. What is she gaining? If it's a loisas, or let's say the OU used to give a hechsher on kosher shrimp, a Mendel's Hamish shrimp. It was regular fish, and they used to cook it. They claimed that it tasted the same as shrimp. Who's going to catch them in a lie? The people are interested in buying Mendel's.
They're going to go into his and say it tastes the same.
Yeah. They went out and no one wanted it. So after a year, they discontinued the Hashgacha because nobody was interested in the Mendel's Hamish shrimp. Yeah, but so the Shilas, is there anything wrong with that? What's wrong? If you're not violating shrimp, well, it can taste like shrimp because it's hate. There's nothing wrong. When it comes to a lois essay, there's no midas chasidus to volunteer more. When it comes to an essay. Well, so that's what the Maharal Prag has like that. If he has a long arichas on that. Chilukim between essay and a lois essay. But the Rishonim don't say that, Terry. See, in the Taisvis and Brochus, on Daf Yud Ches, a big Taisvis. So Taisvis has a machlekes the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam. How do you answer this question? So one of the Rishonim says, the mason, when you dress them up with shatnas, they don't get any hanor. It doesn't keep them warm, it doesn't keep them cool, they don't look good. So they say, even if it would have been alive, there wouldn't have been a violation of shatnas. So now that he's dead, it's levisha, shame bo hanor. So there's no, they gain nothing. He's in a box anyway. So that's what the one day I think that Ben Tam says like that. That even if he would have been a chai, he wouldn't be chai. There wouldn't be an iser of shatnas. So that's why there's nothing wrong with dressing him in shatnas. But since that's an inyan, so the Rashbam taines against the Ben Tam. If that's so, that this, if he would have been alive, he would have not violated Shatnas either.
He wouldn't be alive.
Tzitzis also. No, if he would have been alive, the same may parallel to that. So he tied us at Tzitzis also. You only have in Tzitzis if you have Levisha, Shiesh Barno. It never says that in the Gemara. The Gemara says by Shatnas.
Yeah.
But how does the Gemara know by Shatnas that you have to have Hano? Because Halo is really the Levisha. The Ma Levisha, Shiesh Barno. Av Halo, Shiesh Barno. So the Rashbam has a machlekes with the Rabbeinu Tana. Rashbam holds that that's a din in Kol HaTorah Kulam. Whenever there's a din of Levisha, by Tzitzis also a din of Levisha. A beggar that I have in the drawer is not chayv in Tzitzis. Kalei kufs are not chayv in Tzitzis. Only a four corner garment that I'm wearing. So does hasten, it's not called wearing if you don't get hanor from it. So if the Rabbeinu Tana is right, that the mason, we're permitted to put on shatnas on the mason, because it's Levisha Shem Bahano, and even a Chai who would wear Levisha Shem Bahano is not Muzer on Shatnas. So then the Tzitz is the same thing. And the Rabbi Natan apparently thinks, no, that this halacha of Levisha Shem Bahano is not a universal din in Kol HaTorah Kulah, that every Levisha has to be Levisha Shem Bahano. It's a special din in Shatnas. It doesn't carry over to Tzitz.
Why would Pastoral Palace be fully buried in the nest and the yard? Why would Pastoral Palace?
That's the other half of the text. That's another question. In the Gemara it says, Beferish, that you have to put on kosher tzitzis. If you bury a mace with a four-quarter garment, you must see to it that he has kosher tzitzis. And the minig over the for centuries is that you pass over talo. So Tosfos says, wait a second, minig is against the Gemara. The Gemara said, you're not allowed to. You have to put on kosher tzitzis. So Tosfos quotes a braisa from Maseches Mochas that there was one Tana who said like that. When I die, and you bury me, they said, Hatiru tzitzis me'an pil yoni. Remove the tzitzis from my garment. But the other Tanaim said wrong. The other Tanaim said he did wrong. You're not supposed to remove the tzitzis. But that's what Tosfos has a hard time explaining. Why do we follow that Tana? We should follow the majority opinion, because the Gemara passes, you have to wear tzitzis. So that's a... The Gemara talks about that by Shatnas. At the end of Maseches Nidah, the Gemara says, are you permitted to bury a mace with shatnas or not? So the Mishnah says you may put on shatnas. The Gemara says maybe the Mishnah only goes to have shatnas on the mace during the hesedim. But what about to bury him permanently with the shatnas? So what's the shaila? So the first of shatnas in the Gemara is the shaila is like this: the mason, if the tzitzis on mason, not only will they come back to life, their bodies, they'll come back to malbusheim. They'll be wearing the same, even though the begotten will disintegrate, just like the Tzias HaMeisim is a miracle. The body will be reconstituted, and whatever movement they had, the same Mabushin will be reconstituted. They'll be wearing the same Mabushin. So the Shaila is, what's going to be with Shatnas? If you say that Meisim after Tzias HaMeisim, that's the Shaila. A person who died and he has Tzias HaMeisim, is he Chayv HaMitzvah Sana? Can you invite him to a minyan? Is he Chayv HaMitzvah Sana?
Wouldn't he bottle the mitzvahs than what we have now? But
so that's what the Gemara has a machlokes. They say mitzvahs betelus lasid lava means after a mace, once you die, you potter, and even after tzias hamace. So lasid lava, there'll be two categories of Jews. Those who were born naturally and they never died, they're not recycled. They were born from a mother and a father. They were just born, so they'll be Chayv HaMitzvah. And the others who died and came back to life after Tzias HaMeisim, they'll be potter from mitzvahs. But he's saying, no, everybody will be chay in mitzvahs. So the Gemara presents that when he say mitzvahs betelus losid lava, mitzvahs ain't betelus losid lava. After Tzias HaMeisim, will they be mechuy? So that's how the simple reading the Gemara is. But other Rishonim say that that's not the pshat. The Ritvon, Rashi learns like that. After Tzias HaMeisim, will there be a violation of shatnas or not? Anyway, this is the famous Gemara, that in shatnas there are two prohibitions. There's an Issa of Levisha, and there is an Issa of Ha'aloh, but Lahatziya Tachtov, to use as a sheath, Minatara is permissible, but with the Rabbanon you're not allowed. I remember Rabbi Gifter told us that when he learned in Telzi Yeshiva, he was a little boy, when he learned in Telzi Yeshiva, there was an Elter Rabacher who was known as a big tzaddik, a big Talmid Chacham, Rabbi Mordechai Pogromansky. He survived, he survived the war, and then after the war he died in Paris. In his 50s or something like that. See, he never got married. So he says they all knew in the yeshiva that this Rabbatl Pogromansky was a big tzaddik. He used to always wear very big hats. The hats used to hang over his ears. What's that? This? What's Hamidus Chasidus? Because the hats used to have a label on them. Before you bought the hat, it had a label what size it was and what the make was. And this Rav Motl considered that the kozman, the label, was attached to the hat. He held that it constituted shatnas. So shatnas, so when you buy a hat, you rip it off, like you try on a suit, when it fits. You buy the suit, you give it to the shatnas people, and take it out. But he was chayshish for the Rambam shita, that levisha is forbidden, even if ain't bohanoah. So he wouldn't try on the hat, because he knew, he felt that it was shatnas with the label. Everybody else tried on the hat, like we try on suits. And he was chayshish for the Rambam, that the label was shatnas, so he would always take a hat and guess whether it's going to fit him or not, and he always guessed wrong. So the hat was always too big, so it was always hanging around his ear. So that was also Amidas Chasidus, why the hat was so big. It's Chasidus for this Rambam Shita. Yeah. So the Gemara asked the Kasha on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're permitted to give gifts on Yontif, clothing, and the clothing is not sewn up together. All right, that you can use as a blanket. And clothing, cloth, material, shatnas. What in the world is going to use the shatnas for? So the Gemara says he can't use it for Allah to use as a blanket, but maybe you can use it to chitim, and if you'll say chazu lemei machtoi say, you can use the shatnas as a sheet to place it underneath the body and to lay down on it. If Gemara v'atan, you may have a brisa that says lo yala lecha ha'aloh is os avo ba tati ochel atziot tachtecho. Min atari permitted to use it as a sheet. Avlo machachami, but with the rabbanim they said it's forbidden. Also, lasses king, he's not allowed to use shatnas as a sheet. Why? Achashash from the rabbanim, shemet tichor echalanim al besar. Maybe some of the shatnas will roll up over his leg, over his body, and it'll turn out that he's doing ha'aloh without realizing it. And Tesis says in other places, here Tesis doesn't say. Tesis in the other places says it's going to have to be a big nimo, otherwise it's going to be ha'aloh shem bo hano. What hano doesn't get? But they said it's going to be a big nimo. It'll be sheyeshman. It must be the tesis in Yuma. That's on the test, I think, says like that. The chashash is shemit yichorach lanimo, and it'll be halos sheyeshman. I think he came as of the Gemara. Maybe that chashash that it's also with the rabbanon to lay on a sheet that shatens only if it's directly touching your body. Shemit yichorach lanimo. Maybe it'll roll up on the body. What if I have five sheets on the bed, one on top of the other, so the bottom sheet is shatens? Then have another four sheets on top of it. So it's not shy. And let's say they're holding tight. The sheets are tight holding sheets. So it's not shy. Shem tichorach lanim. This is the sheet on the bottom of another five sheets. So what shy chachash? Maybe you can use shatnes to use as a sheet below other sheets. The mapsik, maybe something will be mapsik beini beini in between my body and the sheets. So there's no chachash. Shem tichorach lanim. Craig Demar, that's not permissible either. Because Rav Shimon Pazi said that he heard from Shimon Levi, he heard from Avi Yisman Shaw, he heard from Rebbe, and the name of the Kila Kadisha, the Yerushalayim, the meaning in Yerushalayim was that even that's prohibited, even that's forbidden. I feel Esam Atzor Zogab is even 10 sheets, one on top of the other, like the mattress. Bottom sheet, mattresses, yeah.
Like mattress, like Thomas Mattress.
Yeah. Even if the, I don't know, that was the Gzera that I bought, and it was a light look. The Gzeres Rabbanon was made as a Leitlug. Most Gzeres Rabbanon are instituted as a Leitlug Rabbanon. Even in cases where the Chashash doesn't apply, the prohibition doesn't apply.
It will be that way.
Yeah, if you allow people to do this, then the next thing they'll do is to use it as a direct sheet directly touching the body. The next thing will be, it'll be a little to this. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, what in the world, what can you use a piece of cloth of shatnas for? What can you use it for? You're only allowed to give a gift on Yontif. We're going to sell it to a guy. It says you're only allowed to give a gift on Yontif. Zach Lal. Also, we use some baby Yontif. Mishal Hamosa. Whatever you can use on Yontif.
Use it as a towel to dry your hands.
Can you use it as a towel to dry your hands? So the Mishnah talks about that. The Mishnah says if he gets enough from it, then you're not allowed to. That's for sure. Let's say.
Yes,
I don't think so.
Yes,
if it's chilly, if it's chilly, then it's anor. If he just dries his hands, I don't think that's an issue. If it's not chilly or anything, it doesn't get anor from the cloth of the garment. Not. Let's say a person sits on the barber seat. Person takes a haircut and they put a big sheet around so that the hair won't fall. He's not interested in getting
the protector from the air.
I think the Mishnah says that it's much keeps him warm a little bit.
Yeah.
But if it's not chilly, if the steam is on and he doesn't really need it, then it's that per se. That per se.